Ken, I guess I'll just ask you a few preliminary questions about what's going on. I missed the last thing, so I don't really know too much about it myself. But if you could just fill me in and tell me a few of the details of what we're going to be doing.
Well, you've already answered a lot of your questions by the tone in your voice, which says it's obviously ridiculous to ask such a question.
Well, okay. All right.
I figure that our function on this earth is to reflect the other fellow, whatever instrument that we can use, be it a tape recorder or a camera or a pencil or a mirror. If I can reflect you and the places where I see the barbs and the hang-ups, and do it with some amount of love and not with hostility, so that there's as little pain as possible, it means that you can move on.
Oh, then this would be the purpose of it. In other words, by...
It's completely therapeutic.
Oh.
Beware.
With how much success?
Well, you see around you some of the more successful ventures right now. You can see some of the lamest and wimpiest and looniest people in the Bay Area.
Well, with what kind of direction do you aim this therapy, as you call it?
Well, as navigator of this venture, I try as much as possible to set out in a direction that in the first place is practically impossible to achieve, and then along the way mess up the minds of the crew with as many chemicals as we can lay our hands on, so it's almost certain that we can't get there.
Well, would you say that it was deliberately self-defeating then?
Oh, this is really good.
This is about as deliberately self-defeating as anything has ever been in history. Most of the people, I think, involved in this realize that there's nothing to be gained.
Oh.
That every time you try to lay your hands on something and get hold of it, that you've sold yourself down the river. It's a lie. The first prankster rule is that nothing lasts. And if you start there, and really believe that nothing lasts, you try to achieve nothing at all times.
Well, if you're trying to achieve nothing, why do you put so much effort into achieving nothing?
We have nothing else to do.
Well, it seems that an absolute nothing would be what you would kind of advocate more than an organized disorganization.
Organized disorganization is like nothing. That's a self-canceling fact. It's like non-music or... See, none of us are musicians or navigators or technicians. We're all completely bumbling amateurs. First, because like Galileo or Columbus or anybody who makes any sort of discovery at all in this world, they have to do it by accident. That means that we have to do something that will almost ensure accident. And since a human being is so damn proficient at grooving himself a rut and staying in it at all costs so that he doesn't get hurt, we have to do something to break us out of that rut. The rut of our minds, which has been going along the same kind of thinking for so many thousands of years that we don't even realize it, that our thoughts are going nowhere new. You can't have a new idea. You know, you can't just sit down there and on the toilet and begin to strain and go forward and find a new idea. You can be enlightened, which is like, ah! To do that, though, you have to wander into a new area.
Well, staying along the same line, more or less, with the type of sounds and noises that you'll be using, what is their purpose?
Imagine how it used to be like when people started talking. The first guy that ever realized that he could use this mechanism in his throat to make a a sound that would communicate a feeling, emotion, or fact in the brain of another being over there. At that time, we probably were humming all the time. We were probably making just continual noises. It's done, like I was saying before, to emphasize something that's going on with us. There is, right now, between you and I, a weirder thing happening than usually happens, just because we're getting close enough to begin to examine it. You get a lot of people examining it for a long time, it gets very weird. It's extremely weird.
And this is what we're headed towards. In other words, that is a trip.
Well, the trip is an open circle, I think. Everything else is closed circle. The trip means that there's still a place in what is happening for me to fit into, or for you to fit into. If you're listening to the radio, it's a closed circle. It's already happened, you know. This all has to do with time. You see, when I say something now, it's taking how long for the voice to get to you, to your ears and your head, so that whatever I do happens at a point in time and finally reaches you by mail, by whatever you want to call it. By then, it's a closed circle. There's no place for you to interrupt then. Everything is closed circles between people. When you get an open circle, it's dangerous. It's like children or animals. It means they demand you doing weird things, like playing a harmonica that is going nowhere. That at any moment you can add to it your own kind of noise, and it's part of it. This is different from Beethoven's Fifth, which is finished. There's no place for me in it, except as an audience.
Ken Babbs, right. Blonde haired.
Ken?
Yeah. Oh, that's the guy back there.
John Byron.
We've already got him on microphone.
Oh, yeah?
No, we've been picking all that up, too.
What are you doing, Ken?
Just goofing. Let him do it, whatever he's
just
doing.
Just goofing. Why?
Just fun, that's all. Just good, honest fun. A hard day's fun. Been working at it all day. Sometimes I put in 18 hours a day of fun.
18 hours a day?
Yep, at least sometimes, when I really get going. When it starts to accelerate and builds up, then pretty soon I'm just having fun all the time.
That's the best thing, right?
Well, who knows? But it's fun.
What about death for you?
What about it?
That's the termination of your fun, right?
Who knows?
You don't know.
No, I'm not dead.
So death for you is something that's up in the air. You don't have any ideas about death.
Ideas about death?
Yeah.
I don't have any good ideas about it, because if I did, you'd hear it. That's for sure. No, I must not have, because death. What about it?
Well, would you like to die?
What a question. Well, yeah, is that some kind of a threat or something? What do you want, my money, my harmonica? That's all I got, plus my bandana, my knife. No, you used that to kill me. Can't have my knife. How about a cough drop? No, it's fine.
Okay.
Oops, excuse me.
Thank you. Take two. All right. Take two. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are, indisposed as it were, at this end of this Sound City situation, and we're entitled to take two. Of what, may I ask? God knows, I'm answered. Take two. They're small. Take two. That's all. Take two. Then quit. Take two, man, and then that's it, split.
No, I'm interested in you because you and I, if I put the microphone away, you're two different people. You can communicate with me so beautifully in one language, the other language that you can communicate in so beautifully. I'm trying to understand because I'm a learner. I learned some basics today, and I'm
talking to the mic.
I'm quite with the basics. I'm as smart as you in one way, you know that.
We're all as smart as each other.
No.
I'm saying cleverly. Smarter than I am.
Cleverly, I can talk as fast, as quickly, and I can write as well. The other way, the other thing that you have, the other philosophy, the basic thing that you have, the beautiful thing that you have.
The story about Peggy the pistol. She didn't shoot a gun, but she shot a lot of crystal. She had the meth habit. She had it bad. Now listen while I tell you about the trip she had. She didn't shoot a gun, but she shot a lot of crystal. She had the meth habit, she had it bad. Now listen while I tell you about the trip she had. Junkyard one Saturday night. Cause she knew that the lights there would be shining bright. She gave about 30 CDs, went out like a light. Thought she's dead. Thought for a while she was insane. But then when she woke up, found she was on a different plane. Well, between tick and clock, in a land as still as a frozen clock. She saw Jesus and Judas playing solitaire, Anne Frank and Buddha doing a Buddhist prayer. Oswald and Lincoln discussing truth and there's always somebody there right in the alley waiting for you to go slipping past and say, hey buddy, you want to buy a hot trip to heaven? There's always one of those fast buck boys lurking just down there with a fairway ends. Watch out, he's driving out past now. They're on the... I don't know if he was coming here for nightfall and bought himself up for the first time. He's using number 10 on that thing. I'm going to find it somewhere. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, what you say?
You want to buy yourself a hot trip to heaven?
Yeah, I pick up on that action right now. And he lays his dollar down quick as you can see. And he comes out that it's a one-way ticket. He lays in one.
Up, and that's where it's all at. He says, I'm reaching up, 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 up. And he lives out, left behind his copper beans. Yeah, left behind his fritidons. And now he's reaching out into some kind of inner galactical miracle, some sort of chaos, reaching around his brain, reeling in and out. The sphere of verbal communication, and there was just kicks and tingles of electrical impulses. It was all slightly unbelievable and weird to the eye. He said this could only be reached through some kind of teleport, I think, non-communication method. Never before devised by man can it be true that this is truly one-way ticket to heaven! And at that moment, the doubt crept in that maybe this was not heaven.
Not heaven?
Way that it would be later.
Not heaven? Not heaven? You mean, after I finally got everything that I've been working all this time for, after I finally made all these marks on the wall, after I got all this stuff stashed away forever, now that it's put down there, this ain't heaven? I'm going to get in touch with... Who's in charge here? Who's in charge? Who do I write? Who do you complain to when heaven has gone wrong? Who's the man in charge here? Somebody will answer to this.
Heads will roll in Washington.
If this is heaven.
Deep belches of satisfaction as the good man looked down and said, who call me? I'm in charge. Hey, listen here. We got some kind of bad news that I gotta tell you about. I've been offered this one-way ticket to your place, and it turns out it's all mock. It ain't even there. Well, chillin's, you bought your ticket, and it's a certainly one-way jive, and I tell you, wasn't it nice and cool? And crazy air for just a little bit. Well, that's right, boss. That's right.
I can't deny that, but suddenly it became something else, some sort of inner working of the diabolical mind of the human brain, which passed it outside the realm of that crazy neon and electrical impulse. On that little motion, because the boss was whispering away into whispered nothingness, never to be understood by those who are forced to listen. Listen, listen, there marks a bad note. Listen, there it is. Whispers come in all at once. The electrical impulses reach out to the fingers and they pass on to one another. And it comes back into the method of those organisms again. There's limited communication. It's non-verbal communication. It's non-reachable communication. It's somewhere else. It's on another plane. Astral, astral, astral. They was coming on like gangbusters in the first row of the downtown Orpheum Theater. I mean to say, watch them go. I mean that their hooves were 3 feet above the ground and never touching down. I mean, it was jubilation and it is rejoicing everywhere. And everybody's joining in and they're clapping hands. And they're shrieking at the top of their voice, and it sounds to the unbeholden ear that these people have completely and totally wigged out into some sort of absolute divinity. But it's not that, it's just good, honest to God ticket. It's just good, honest to God ticket to that one-way road of the only heaven gates we all know. And I say, it's all beautiful and gold. Sweet mellow hand laying on you, and I mean to tell you, this sounds like something that you've heard when you was a little kid. It's because it's still true, brothers. Oh, brothers. It makes my old wrinkled heart beat 3 times. It's slow to 33 1/3 pulse. I came the third astral elevation as a mere child and danced in formed jubilation throughout the multitudes. But I doubted for 1 second, and my body began to give away.
There goes another one. We'll show those rascals they cannot outfox. The maker. He's the devil, that one.
Elves and fairies and Pan the Piper danced too before it was all coughed out.
Well, they picked up an old pen wiper and went tied it to a string after a long ago trout.
Hello, Timmy Lee. I've come down here to visit you on tomorrow and bring you a donut.
Well, come on in and give it to me and we'll see what we can work out.
Oh, gosh. You know, I just saw Tommy Robin down there at the creek and it was such a thrill. He had his new feathers on, you know.
Tommy's such a nice guy.
And Perry Periwinkle, he's such a frit. You know, he was up all busybody and giving everybody so much trouble this morning. Oh, but here, have another donut.
But did you hear about Sea?
No. What?
He went. Oh, I hate to tell you this.
Straight without deviation?
Oh, worse than that. It went to deviation.
Oh, it's an abomination if I've ever heard one.
He chuckling.
Great.
Fellini masterpieces. With your assistance and clarity, I have left my astral form and achieved spectral. Thank you for your cooperation. Thank you for listening. Without your clarity, I would still be bound to gravity and the mass EMC squared. I can feel them all leaving now. They're running out of my ears like little jackrabbits gaily crossing the pasture that morning so long ago. And I'm over now, and I can flick back into 2-year-old pasture and the red barn and the kids on the beach in the stream saying, be good, and all.
Oh, I remember it, too. I remember, well, the teeps can come run through any time there, but I found out for a moment there in a field where your arms are ahead of your head.
And the field is there, and we're above it for a change, and we don't have to dally in it. We can move on to another fluttery business. We can levitate and transubstantiate. Can it be true that we can go so far as to teleport our astral bodies into another plane?
Plane? The man's insane.
He's babbling just like he always
does. He's out of his nuts.
And so they take Pan away, giggling and fluting across the cement of his yesterday. But every once in a while, between the edge of, I've almost forgotten, and, oh my God, what does it mean? We can just catch the slightest echo.
Little leftover electronic impulse from all this crazy statical feedback clicks. You achieve a clarity that passes you too one step over the be good fence.
Well, I don't know about you, but that guy's plumb foolish.
And get him off of there. Let's get some of the boys.
I've heard some crazy critters in my time, but that
makes me sick the way he's coming on up there. I just.
If he thinks I'm going to put out $3.95 for an album to listen to this kind of trash, I say he's crazy. I say that America doesn't need this kind of impudent young snots. And those are hard words, I know, but these are hard times.
Terrible times. Get him off of there.
They can't even understand that we are a war nation. We are at war. This is Franklin Delano Roosevelt speaking.
The only thing you have to fear is fear itself.
Hard times. The only salvation is to be good. I say, be good.
We still got it going. The crossover once means that we can slip back and forth because we are once again
blurred the edges a little.
Above the past into the present and sometimes tickling the toes of the future.
And the doctor will be in here in a moment.
I want you to examine his suture.
At the last scientific meeting, I presided over. But these are astounding facts that cannot be dealt with in any man of the 20th century. Perhaps if he were seeing visions like, say, somebody in the past, of a
Jules Verne, I'd say.
But if he can do it quick and save it, the thing will bleed to death before tomorrow.
He is the 23rd century, perhaps.
Beyond any kind of our, existence, as you might say, physical reality. Because at times, the voice goes out and comes back just a slight second delay, and it does just barely enough, that we might, with a little bit of deliberate effort, crack and mind and snarl this core single tracked and slightly insane logic into a manner of speaking which our children could understand. It is for the children's sake only, for God's sakes, that I
get him
watch
off
you.
Of there. Get him off of there now, I say. Do you want the kids hearing this?
Look at him up there. You're stirring on this thing.
That's how I'd like to lay this thing down for a while.
I'd like to lay this down too, and if any of you
put something else on and do something else,
I would listen, or I'd let the dead sing some.
Yeah, that'd be good because everything is just so nice.
My voice is completely shot, kid. I can't even hold it. I can't even keep a pitched note. See?